Our scripture passage today is from 1 Samuel chapter 24. We're continuing on in the story of David as we find it in 1 and 2 Samuel. And we are in that portion of the life of David where he's on the run. He did a lot of good for Israel, beat up the enemies, overcame Goliath. But now he's on the run, and it is because of Saul's jealousy. And so in this latter part of 1 and 2 Samuel, we will see that David has to avoid Saul and the armies of Israel because they're out to get him because of Saul's jealousy of what he's done. And we have another episode of that today where David has to face a test. But here we see why David is a man after God's own heart. Let's look and see what it says. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens. Along the way, a cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. And the men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemies into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of the robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." And with these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. And then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. And he said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. And some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lay my hands on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at the piece of the robe in your hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hands." And when David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. And when a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul. And Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of his word. Our Heavenly Father, these stories that we read are interesting, but they often don't seem to apply to us right away. So, Holy Spirit, show us this day what we are to glean from your word so that we can be men and women well equipped to do your will in this sinful world. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back when we were living in Tuscumbia, I was taking the kids to school in a relatively new red caravan. And as I was getting ready to turn a corner, I got hit by another car. And I found out that the person who was driving it had a suspended license and no insurance. Now, what do you think I wanted? Justice. Take that kid away. He should never have a license to begin with. I wanted justice. Now, let me ask you, do you think there's a need for justice in this world? Yes. And a lot of times people seem to get away with injustice. What do you want when someone disobeys the law? Justice. What do you want when someone violates your rights as citizens? You want justice. What do you want when you work for an employer who breaks the rules and demeans you? Justice. And when somebody runs into your car and it's their fault, you want justice. Justice. We throw that around a lot today, don't we? But is it up to you to execute justice? Now, we have certain figures in our society. It is their job to execute justice. It is the police, our judges, and our juries. That is the way society is set up. And if it wasn't set up that way, it'd be anarchy. And it's biblical too. God establishes governments to protect people. But are you to take the law into your own hands? Now, there is a very popular TV series and movie series that came out, The Equalizer, where he takes the law into his own hands and we all applaud it. But that is not the way it should be. We are not to be the ones who execute judgment in this world. There are certain people who are set up to do that. But yet, what happens a lot? People want to be like the equalizer. They want to take the law in their own hands. And it does not end up very well. And I want you to think about what you hear a lot today in the headlines. There is this growing belief that individuals should use violence to get what they want in the face of perceived injustice. Let me tell you why the Holy Spirit gave us this passage. He gave us this passage to convince you that that is not the way to go about things. God's word to you this morning is, you have to rest on the justice of God who will execute it in his good time. That's what the Holy Spirit's teaching you this morning. And it is a word which we need to hear. Why? Because of this growing emphasis of, I got to take the law in my own hands. I've got to be the one who rectifies all wrong. Let's see what David has to say about this. And we see it in the situation that he finds himself in here by being pursued by Saul. And like David, you and I may find ourselves in situations where it is blatantly unjust. And I want you to think about this world today. There's a lot of injustice. And people start to say, along with the psalmist, God, why don't you do something? See it in the headlines. Governments can turn a blind eye to what is wrong. And they can do it for political reasons. They can do it because of financial reasons. But they do that. There are people who are oppressed because of injustice in this world, and they do not get what they want. There is such a thing as corporations putting profits before people or public health. Let's don't be naive. Those things do happen, and the poor can suffer. Why? Because they cannot afford a good lawyer. That does happen, and I've seen that. When it comes to divorce and the control of kids. Let me give you a story from the headlines. Recently, do you realize in Tokyo recently, the police and prosecutor had to apologize? Why? Because of a businessman that they arrested in 2021 who died in prison. But here's why they had to apologize. Because the charges were bogus. There was no evidence of his crime. But yet they kept him in prison. And he got cancer and died. They denied him bail when he should have had it. Now that's Japan. That is a sophisticated nation. Probably the same thing happens here as well. We just don't hear about it as much. Or how about this? Do you realize that in Australia they had to kick out the Iranian ambassadors? Why? Because they found out that they were the ones who were fomenting trouble against Jewish synagogues. Ambassadors aren't supposed to do that. Was it unjust? Yeah. Oh, these things happen all the time. And I want you to think about your own personal life. You can work for a business, and the person that you are responsible for is unjust. They are demeaning. They don't care about you. They are in it for themselves, not for the greater good of the company. They will play favorites. And they will try to get rid of you so they can hire their friends. Does that type of injustice happen? Oh, yes, it does. And even in families, you can have husbands and wives who are unfaithful, who will lie, and once again from the headlines, who will even try to poison a spouse. Is this fair? No. But it happens. And don't think it doesn't. Don't think because you're a Christian, you won't wind up in a similar situation. Don't think just because you do what is good and right, you're exempt from this. Take a look at what's happening here with David in this passage. He's in flight. Why? What did David do? Kill Goliath. That's good. Smack around the Philistines. That's good. But Saul doesn't like him. And Saul is the power broker. And so David has to run with his men. And in this particular episode, David is outgunned. Three battalions of Saul's army against David and his mighty men. And they are in flight. They wind up in En-Gedi, and his men have snuck into a cave. And they are probably far back in that cave, and it's dark. They may have a candle, but they are there in hiding. Now, here's what happens. Saul is chasing them. He has to take a rest break. The bathroom at the Circle K in En-Gedi is out of order. So he's got to go into the cave to relieve himself. Or if you're reading from the King James, uncovereth his legs, going to the bathroom. Well, while he is there, the men know, Saul has come in. He's by himself. David, this is your chance. Oh, we can get this whole thing all over with in one swipe of the sword. After all, didn't God say you're going to be the king? Isn't this guy unjust? Isn't he about to murder you? And I think David was tempted to do that. After all, he sneaks up stealthily like a ninja and cuts off a corner of his clothes. But he doesn't kill him. Now I want you to think about David in this position. David is not being treated fairly by any stretch of the imagination. He has done good. But what do we always say? In this life, no good deed will go unturned. In other words, even if you do good, even if you do what's right, you can still have people against you. That is exactly what is happening to David right here. He helped Israel. But jealousy is doing him in. You can do what is right and still there's a problem. Success creates enemies who will try to get rid of you. And what we've got to understand is we do not need to look at this world with rose-colored glasses. I will always say one of my greatest problems is I'm naive. I'm naive about sin because I expect people to reward what is good and right, but they don't, do they? And that can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen in the ministerial world. It can happen in the corporate world. It does happen. And it's not right. So what are you going to do? Take matters in your own hands? A lot of times that doesn't work. You can go to human resources. Doesn't work. It becomes a he said, she said, or a she said, he said. Doesn't work. Doesn't work at all a lot of times. But David shows us something else here. Don't take the law into your own hands. It's not going to work. He could have ended Saul's kingship like that. And I want you to notice something here about David's character. His conscience started to bother him. That's why David is a man after God's own heart. He knows he should not have done that. Why should he have not have done that? Over and over again, it says throughout this passage, I can't do this. I cannot kill Saul. He is the Lord's anointed. He's the one God chose. He is the one who has put God, or God has put him in this position. I am not going to act and kill him. And in fact, notice what it says in verse 7. David sharply rebuked his men. In other words, probably David got in his face and says, don't ever bring this up again. We are not going to kill Saul. He got on their case. And he's not going to do it because David knows God has established this man in authority. His conscience bothers him. And throughout the Bible, we find this over and over again with the Hebrews. So, for example, in Exodus 22, verse 28, listen to what it says. Don't blaspheme God or curse the ruler of your people. Later on, the New Testament says you're to honor the king. Now, I want you to think about that in the New Testament. The very king who was into emperor worship, and if you didn't worship the king, you could die. We're to honor him. Were those kings unjust? Yes. But you're still to honor them. And that is what David does there is not going to be an assassination attempt against Saul. Now, again, this is important. Why? Because of what the world is constantly telling us. Get even. Take the law into your own hands. It doesn't matter. Even if that person is an elected official, if they're bad and we don't agree with them, kill them. Shoot them. If the insurance executive is doing wrong, you take the law in your own hands. And what have we had happening in New York City? Assassination. Growing violence against public leaders. Even so that local politicians have had to have security services to protect them. Now, I got to tell you, I don't agree with all these decisions that they make. I think some of them are foolish, wrong-headed, and uncaring at times. But I'm not going to take the law into my own hands. And I'm still going to offer them respect, just as David did. He bowed down to Saul. He said, "You're the king." Not going to do that. At work, you can disagree with somebody. You can disagree with your boss. But don't try to destroy them. Don't try to harm them. Because God has put them in that place. You can use the systems that are there, but I got to tell you, a lot of times those systems do not work. Are you saying, well, just ignore the problem? No, I'm not saying ignore the problem. I'm not even saying you got to have the guy over to dinner. I want you to notice at the end of this, what does David do? You know, Saul said, "Oh, David, I'm sorry, David, I didn't mean to do it. Oh, let's go out to dinner together." It's not what happens. At the end of this, David went to his stronghold. David doesn't trust Saul. And when you're dealing with power brokers who are corrupt, you don't need to trust them. But you still have to show respect and honor, and you still have to respect them. Respect. And that is something we often forget in our political climate. For example, do you realize it says that I am to pray for government leaders? You know what I worry about at times? That if I prayed for somebody who we didn't like, everybody would think, well, he's a liberal. Praying for the president or something. I'm called to pray for leaders. There's a lot of them I don't like. A lot of them I didn't even vote for. But you got to pray for them because it's a sign of respect. The question is, as Christians, are we denying one of the virtues that we have? And I'm not suggesting that you ignore evil, but what I am saying is sometimes you have to leave justice to God. And look at what it says in verse 12. What does David say to Saul? He says, "I have not wronged you, but you are hunting down my life. May the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you." And go on down to verse 15. Again, listen to what he says. "May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." David is saying, God is going to judge you. God will give me justice in time. What does it say in the Bible? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." In Deuteronomy 32, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay in due time. Their foot will not slip." God's the one who's ultimately going to bring around the judgment of that person you can't touch. And we've got to keep that in mind. They're not going to get away with it. Ultimately, God will do something. Now, why is this important? When I was in Tuscumbia, Alabama, we had a church that was very, very well off financially. A lot of doctors and lawyers and judges. And I remember in a Sunday school class I was teaching, we were dealing with meekness and about dealing with those over you at work. And one of the, you know, you got to be kind, you got to be nice, you got to be respectful. And you know, what happens if there's They're just annoying. One of the doctors said, well, you just need to tell them what they're doing. What they're doing is wrong. You just need to get in their face. And I'm saying to myself, you just don't get it because you're a doctor. You can get away with that. But what about all these poor people who have to put up with that? Because if they run their mouth, if they confront the person, they will lose their job because they are helpless. You can't do anything. And there are people who are stuck in that position. That's why you've got to leave things to God's will and to God's timing. And there's another reason you should. Because God knows all the facts. And a lot of times you don't. There is a very good TV series called Foyle's War. It is about a police detective in England during World War II. Now, after the war is over, the Special Service wants him to work for them. And so he does. And he's very successful exposing corruption. And after the war, what people don't realize is that England was in such bad shape that they had fascists trying to get political power. They were anti-Jewish. And one politician is stirring up the masses to get rid of the foreigners in our midst. And so a bunch of thugs from the meeting go out. They think they have a Jewish household and they firebomb it. But it wasn't a Jewish household. They were Polish immigrants who had escaped from the war. And they were babysitting the young, sick son of one of the members who was in the meeting. What did that crowd do? They took the law into their own hands. They thought they knew all the facts, but they didn't. That's why you want to rely on God to bring justice. Now, there may be ways in the systems that you have to work where you can do certain things. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times they don't work. And you're going to have to wait on God to bring about His will. The Holy Spirit is telling His people this morning, beware. Beware of what is going on in this world. Beware of getting caught up into this idea that I've got to take matters in my own hands. It never turns out well. And think of what David could have done versus what he did do. He showed respect and says, I will wait on the judgment of God to take care of this. And give it a few chapters, God will. Let's pray and ask God to restrain our sinful desires, so that we honor Him. Our Lord and our God, restrain the sin in our hearts, the desire to want to get even, to bring justice, but also help us to remember, You do bring justice. You know all the facts. And God has His timetable, which is perfect and wise, when He will bring about the judgment, when Jesus Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. Amen.